Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning. Welcome to Focus on Albany. I'm Cynthia Pooler, and today we are going across the river once again to Troy. My guest today is Jack Cox, and Jack is one of the candidates who's running for mayor in the city of Troy. Jack, how are you?
I'm very well, Cynthia. How are we doing today?
We're doing good, trying to stay dry. So, you know, they had the Democratic primary a couple of weeks ago, and there's all kinds of, you know, allegations and all kinds of stuff going on with the primary. How are you doing? And can you reflect on the political landscape of what's going on in Troy right now?
Well, unfortunately, the political landscape is pretty much the same as we've always seen in the past, where you've got the two major parties doing whatever they need to do to maintain control or take control of our city. I'm not overly thrilled about that, and of course that's what my campaign is all about, is to try and pull away from the parties and to try and get more focused on the people and the needs of the people. I tried to do this 4 years ago. I made a mistake, similar to Ernest making some mistakes this year, as well as many other candidates that make mistakes. I have grown and learned from my mistakes and was able to put together a petition that was solid enough to keep me on the ballot, and I'm looking forward to seeing how November 3rd turns out. I'm having a great time with the campaign. I've met a lot of wonderful people, and we're just trying to stay out of all of that other stuff, because none of it really pertains to me or to my campaign or what I'm looking to do for the city of Troy.
Now, what party are you running on?
Well, I created my own party because I don't believe in the other parties, the major parties' positions now. I believe they've become extremely rigid and pigeonholed. There's a lot of inflexibility. It's either their way or no way. And I also don't support the mentality of using minor parties to either attack the big parties or to try and enhance my personal views. So I actually created my own party, which is what I did 4 years ago, and it's called the Revolutionary Party. I've traveled around the country quite extensively over the last 20 years, and I've seen that there is a lot of unrest in this community as well as across the country, and there is a underlying revolution brewing to the current two-party system that is, let's face it, they are the two strongest entities in the United States of America, if not the planet. You know, the Democrat and Republican parties, they control everything. And there is a movement to move away from this type of a control and start getting more individualized thinking and more community involvement through that type of a process than to continue to rely on these very narrow-minded parties move us forward in the difficult times we find ourselves in.
Did you have a tough time getting on the ballot?
I would say that I had a little tougher time gathering signatures this year. 4 years ago when I went out, I think things were pretty good, and I actually did better numbers per day. This year, I think that because of all this petty petitioning stuff that's going on, the challenges and voters being, you know, people who give signatures in good faith are being dragged into court because of petty little errors, which people like to use the word fraud. When I was removed from the ballot 4 years ago, it was classified as fraud. But the judges made a very special effort to clarify that what I did wrong was not illegal or criminal in intent. I had no intention of doing anything wrong. And although I was very disappointed about being removed from the ballot, I left the table with my honor and my integrity, and I can't thank the judges enough for that. Otherwise, I wouldn't have been able to come back and run again. So the word fraud, you know, although it is an ugly word and it implies criminal, sometimes it's just used to characterize a behavior that isn't necessarily criminally intent. And because of that, I said there's a lot of people, good people, decent people who want to be involved in the process, and you know, they give a signature, and next thing you know, they got a private investigator knocking on their door, asking them questions, and then they've got a subpoena. And I think that really discouraged a lot of people from getting involved this year. But I did do great. My best day was 37 signatures in one day, and I gathered every single one myself, so I can verify everything.
Now, you're one of four candidates running for mayor. There's Patrick Madden, Rodney Wilshire, and the Republican. Help me with his name real quick. Jim Gordon. Okay?
Gordon.
There's three, and you're the fourth candidate. What are you different from the other three? What do you have to propose that they aren't?
Well, Well, I think my approach is a little different than theirs. We're talking about three people who, you know, a good portion of their life are looking forward to be are affiliated with the public sector. I was born and raised in the private sector. I've worked my whole life doing blue collar work, although I've taken the time to get a white collar education. I enjoy blue collar work, and I like being out here in the dirt doing the hard, dirty stuff. I have traveled a lot. I've seen how other communities are dealing with the same problems that we're dealing with here, and I believe that that exposure gives me different ideas and different creative thinking possibilities than someone who has lived in a community their entire life. If you're born and raised in the city of Troy and spent your whole life here, all you know is Troy. And when you do, when that's all you know, I believe that you limit your options. Of course, you can read about things going on in other communities, but unless you actually go there and interact with the people who are doing these things, it's just information. It's not real knowledge. And I bring a different type of knowledge. Of course, my training throughout the last 35 years is very broad. It covers everything from digging ditch with a shovel to digging with a Caterpillar track hoe. I can run small businesses. My family is entrepreneurial, and I was brought up in that environment. Both of my parents are business owners. My sister is a business owner. I know my uncle is a pain in the butt and can be a little bit aggressive from time to time, but he was a business owner. So we understand the private sector a little bit better because that's where we make our living and that's how we survive. We never really work in the public sector, and I think that when you spend time in the public sector, you have a different vision and a different ideology than those that are brought up in the private sector are.
Now, you know, I've been following the mayoral race in Troy, you know, a little bit, and what I've noticed is there seems to be a lot of corruption. Can you address that issue?
Well, there is a lot of corruption here, and unfortunately, this is by far one of the worst political scenes I have seen across the country, and I've seen a lot. I was actually in the Florida presidential election in 2000, and I voted in the state of Florida when they were counting those hanging chads. So, I mean, I've been involved and a lot of creative situations, but this here is by far one of the dirtiest, ugliest political scenarios I have ever seen, and that is why I am so inspired and so hopeful that I win, because somebody has to break this chain. If I can't get into office, I don't care which other candidate wins, it's going to continue, you know, and I'm not trying to knock the other guys. I like the other guys. I think they're very smart, and I think that they're all decent people. I just don't think that they have the strength and the wisdom that we need right now in the times that we find ourselves in a decaying city, to solve the problems that we need. As I said, they're all smart, but I don't believe that their training is in the fields that we need to solve the major issues we have today with our infrastructure, with our decaying buildings, and the other issues in City Hall, again, as far as the corruption. Because I'm non-party affiliated, I'm hoping to be able to change our city hall and put personnel in there that are, again, focused on the people, not on the party issue.
What do you think the three most important issues are facing the residents of the city of Troy? And if you were elected, how would you address those issues?
Our financial issues, of course, are one of the biggest issues we have here. A lot of those issues can be resolved by just making some decisions, eliminating some costs, and better property management of our own property. We need to get a hold of our budget. The mayor is calling for a 2% cut. My approach is going to be different. I'm not going to ask my department heads to cut 2%. I'm going to get right in there with them and find out where we can save that 2%, whether we need to or not, and still maintain efficiency. There are a lot of improvements that we can make, and financial is definitely one of them. It's going to be multitude of approaches that need to repair that, though. The next big issue for me is, of course, our lack of recreational opportunities here. It doesn't matter what age bracket you fall in. If you're from an infant to a senior citizen, there's just nothing here for us to do, very limited activities, and we're going to try and enhance our parks and build some more facilities to accommodate some better opportunities to give people something to do rather than just hanging around and getting into trouble. And third is our infrastructure and our blighted buildings. This is where a lot of my training really comes in play, because I've worked for underground utility companies. I can run the equipment that puts them in. I know how to bid them and estimate them and design them to some degree. So I'm going to be able to work very effectively with whatever organizations we need to enhance our infrastructure and get that install and in place and find the funding for it in a cost-effective way. And as far as the blighted buildings, I have more vacant buildings outside my window than all of the mayors combined, if they even have one. So I assure you, for all the people that are looking out at vacant properties, whether they're city-owned or privately owned, I'm going to at least get them maintained to a certain level. And we're going to set the example for our city, our privately owned property owners, on how we want them to maintain their property based on how we take care of ours. So I might not be able to get them into the hands of the proper people right now, but at least they're going to be clean and they're going to be under control and they're going to be watched and monitored so that they're not places where inappropriate activity is happening, or they're going to not going to be allowed to deteriorate into a further condition where we have no choice but to tear them down. We're going to save what we can. We're going to get rid of what we have to, and we're going to work together to get these neighborhoods together, especially North Central. We are really hurting down here.
Now, you had run last time in the last mayoral race. What party
yes.
were you running on then?
Same thing. I created the Revolutionary Party. Unfortunately, the party did not actually come into existence, because I never made it to the November 3rd election. If I had survived the election, the party would have survived. So although I created the party line, it never actually came to full fruition because it never survived a general election. So this year, when I accomplish the general election, whether I win or not, I believe the Revolutionary Party is a legitimate party and will live on. I will, of course, check with Ed McDonough on that. But, of course, I'm hopeful to win, and when I win in 4 years, I will run again on my Revolutionary Party line as a re-election.
But it's only viable in Troy or Rensselaer County. I mean, if somebody in Buffalo wanted to run on that line, could they?
I wouldn't have a clue. Again, at this point in time, that's not a high priority for me. My priority was to be a man and stand on my own feet. Like I said, there was no way I was ever going to get a Democrat or Republican Party endorsement, and I don't feel it appropriate to use one of the minor parties in order to enhance my desire to serve the citizens of Troy. So I felt it only appropriate for me to create my own party. I did this as a personal choice. I could have tried to solicit the Green Party or the Working Family or Independent Conservatives, but I decided that it was best for me to just do things on my own as a man, the way I was taught to do things. And if I am fortunate enough to win the election, how far the party will go, I believe, is based on how many party members will ultimately go. So if I win the election and people start changing their party affiliation to the Revolutionary Party instead of whatever party they're in, I believe that I think it has something to do with, like I said, registered voter numbers, because then you have to build a committee and blah, blah, blah. But right now, that's not an issue for me. My concern is to be able to stand in this election on my own feet saying, this is who I am, this is what I'm offering for you, and, you know, if you like what I'm selling, buy in, you know, and if you don't, that's okay. I've always been an option, Cynthia. I'm not trying to force myself on anybody. I believe that I have a really good path. I think I am the right guy that we need right now. I'm not saying that the other guys aren't qualified. I just think that the city needs me more now than they need the other guys. But I'm just an option. I mean, if you don't like what I'm selling, you're not obligated to buy.
Okay, let's go back to primary day when Rodney Wilshire lost by 5 votes before the absentee ballots were counted.
Sure.
And you had expressed to me that it was possible Rodney could have won that election if he had done things differently. Explain how you feel about Rodney's loss and what's going on now.
Well, I feel bad for, I want to say first of all, I feel bad for Ernest, all right? I don't like what's happening to him now, but I agree that he shouldn't have been there. The fact that he was there had nothing to do with me. There were some issues. Rodney didn't handle his business, put his faith in Russell. I don't really know. Again, that has nothing to do with me. I am not happy about the outcome of the primary because with 4 people in the race, although my odds of winning statistically go up, it also hurts me because now part of my strategy has actually been hurt. If Rodney Wiltshire had beaten Patrick Madden, there are a lot of people out there who do not support Rodney. And if it was just Rodney, Jim Gordon, and I, those people that don't support Rodney were pretty much guaranteed votes for me if they were Democrats, because they're not going to go to the Republican Party line typically. So by Madden being on the general election, I believe can help me and hurt me. You're never going to know until November 3rd. I would have preferred it to be a 3-person race. I had prepared for a 3-person race, and I'm a little disappointed because I thought that Rodney was going to be able to do what he did. If he had an issue with Ernest's petition, he should have taken care of it. You know, and you can't cry about it afterwards. I'm not happy about it, but all I can do is continue to work the people because at the end of the day, I don't really care who's in the race. I'm going to win the race on my platform, not by any of the games that were played. That's all. I'm always about the platform. It's about doing what needs to be done and telling the people what I stand for. You know, all these other guys are bashing each other. They're playing their games. And me, I just think that Rodney really shouldn't be complaining about Ernest being there or losing the primary because he had the legal right to challenge Ernest's petition. He had a legal right to challenge the Board of Elections decisions. And unfortunately, although somebody did challenge him, it wasn't Rodney Wiltshire. Carmela Mantello is the one who took me off the ballot 4 years ago. Frank Valenti made the specific objections that were turned down by the Board of Elections. And then Carmela ultimately got involved. She handled her business, and I was off the ballot. It can be done. It's done every day. So what happens with their removal attempt, I don't know. Really don't care. At the end of the day, I don't care who's on the ballot, you know, because, again, I'm just an option.
Now, I believe Ernest Everett has gotten like 200-and-something votes.
Mm-hmm.
Had he not been, you know, the talk is that Ernest took votes away from Rodney, and because of Ernest being in the race, Rodney lost. In the event that Ernest was not in the race, those 200-and-something people that voted for Ernest Everett, where do you think those votes would have gone?
Well, it's really hard to tell. Of course, everybody's going to have their speculation on them. I talked to a lot of the people that while I was gathering signatures, and those people that expressed that they were voting for Ernest Everett. I can assure you the majority of them were not African American or black. They were up in the bird. Their children went to school.
Are you there? I'm having technical problems. I will have to call Jack back. Everybody, hold on for just 1 second, please.
Sorry about that, Cynthia. I had phone.
That's okay. So, I'm talking about Ernest Votes.
Thank you. There was an issue outside that distracted me, and I pushed the wrong button. Ernest Votes. We can all make our speculations. We can guess, and we can wonder. The end of the day is I talked to a lot of people. They were up in the bird. Their children went to school with them, and they had a lot of respect for the man, and that's who they were voting for. If Ernest was not there, I can't guarantee that these people, number one, would have voted for Madden or Wilshire, or would have even come out to vote in the primary. Because these people that expressed that they were voting for Ernest told me that if Ernest didn't win the primary, they were voting for me in the general. So maybe they wouldn't even have come out to vote.
Okay. A couple of last questions. Given the fact that Patrick Madden is not a Democrat, or when he was picked to run for mayor, or he wanted to run for mayor, at that point he was not a registered Democrat. Given the fact that he is the brother of Kathy Gemino, who is a Republican, the Republicans are in a win-win situation. Would you agree with that assessment?
Well, the fact that Patrick Madden wasn't a Democrat doesn't bother me, because he's not a Democrat now and he won't be until after the election, although he did file paperwork to change it. That paperwork won't take effect until after the general. So he is still not a registered Democrat. He has merely filed paperwork to change his party status. What concerns me, regardless of the party affiliation of Kathy Gemino or Patrick Madden, is that I don't like the idea of brother and sister, one family, controlling our city and our county. All right? Feels a little bit European to me. But this is America. I'm not trying to disrespect either one of these people. I'm not trying to put them down, trying to say that they're not qualified or that they're not focused on the best interest. What I'm saying is that scenario personally makes me uncomfortable. And I know that a lot of other people are uncomfortable with it too. Now, I understand Patrick Madden's neutrality in the political field. He does work for a nonprofit. And I believe that many people who work long-term, you know, career in nonprofits do not label their political affiliation because it's considered. But I don't like the idea of family controlling our city and our county. That's my only view, because I really don't know Patrick Madden to make a decision on him one way or the other.
Okay, and closing minutes, Jack. If somebody wants to volunteer for your campaign or make a contribution or contact you, how would they do so?
Well, first off, I don't take any contributions. I am self-funded and I'm non-party affiliated. This is important enough for me to invest my own money, and I don't think it's appropriate to ask people for money to put me into a high-paying, powerful position. I just don't think that's right. As far as anybody who might want to sign, who is interested in helping out to spread the word, I have a website out there, which is jack4mayor.com, and 4 is the numerical 4. And I also have an email address out there, which is jack4mayor@nycat.rr.com. Unfortunately, that is the written word, F-O-R. I could not get the match. So the website is the numerical 4, the email address be spelled out alphabetical 4, but Jack for mayor.
Jack, thank you so much for taking the time to talk about your race for mayor of Troy. You've been listening to Focus on Albany. If you like this show, like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter, or download Focus on Albany on your smartphone. Listen anywhere, anytime. Jack, thank you so much. Good luck, and have a good day.
Cynthia, thank you for having me, and the best of luck to you as well.
Thank you.
All right.